How you doing, everybody? This is Matt.
And Alex.
And today we're going to talk about what happened in our last session of D&D and something that I feel like a lot of DMs go through as well.
When everything goes against your plans.
Yeah, well, maybe not necessarily everything, because at least in our example, it was kind of at the last minute, at least as far as I know.
Yeah, so it's very common for the players to not go the path that you kind of set out. And I put you guys through your first dungeon crawl for this campaign.
Yep.
And it did get broken up into two different settings because we ran out of time.
Which so, also might be one of the culprits behind the scenario. We didn't, flow wasn't kept.
I think that you guys were kind of following a flow of things. Your emotions were in the game, and then we kind of interrupted it. So when you're dealing with it, and it's all in the moment, it's all fresh, it's all happening, and you don't have much time to think about it, I think that it would have followed the path that I thought it would.
Yeah.
That being said, we came back to it with a fresh set of eyes, and you guys decided to go and try to take a break in between. And yeah. I had things planned for when you guys left.
All right, so maybe we stop outlining that and we actually give a basic outline of what actually happened.
Okay, so recap. So
for basic recap, pretty standard introduction to the dungeon crawl. You know, we're in a tavern, we're getting drinks after coming off the road for a little bit, resting everything down. Mm-hmm. Guy staring at us at a bar comes up to us, or rather I call him over, because I don't like people staring at me in a bar. I have people that I may have taken some money from who they don't take too kindly to it, and people they're staring at me from across the bar is probably not the best
thing. In-game or out of game?
Anyway, so what happened next was...
Yeah, just roll right by that.
he said, hey, me and my brother, we went treasure hunting because we found this map to this dungeon that's a little bit ways out of town, cult headquarters. He got caught by goblins, like, essentially the first trap in through the door. And I managed to get away. Can you guys go get him? You can keep whatever's in the dungeon.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, it's nice. It's classic introduction to the dungeon.
Standard.
Yeah, it's awesome. And that stuff is classic for a reason. Because it gets you there. It gets you there quick. You don't ask too many questions. It's short and sweet.
Yes.
So we go there. And sure enough, traps everywhere. Everything's like classic dungeon, and I love it. Kill a few goblins, knock down some doors, prop open some doors, all that good stuff.
Yep.
You kill the black ooze, which...
Mm-hmm. Gray ooze.
Gray ooze, sorry.
Yes.
I hate that there's the actual differentiation between them.
Yeah, there is a difference.
it confuses me so much, always. But anyway, so we're going through... And it's going about as expected. Get hit by some traps, get past a lot of the traps, rolling pretty high that night, so...
Oh, yeah.
Have a couple combats, find a talking statue, as you do.
Yeah, as you do.
And then that's pretty much where we called it, after, like, a combat or two.
Yeah, you guys had two rooms left, and you knew that it was going to be a combat to get into...
That's where the bigger combats were.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be... You guys are, at this point... You've been through the majority of this dungeon.
Yeah.
You're tired. Your characters are low on resources. So when you go into these next two fights that you're supposed to go into, you know, the intention is that you guys are on limited resources, making this otherwise simple combat a lot tougher, a lot more deadly to you guys because you're going at it without all of your extra tricks.
Yeah, a lot more exhausting.
So with that, we end the session. We come back to it, and you guys continue on. You go into a small combat and find this guy's brother.
Yep.
From there, you guys decide to, instead of kind of setting him aside, finishing the dungeon, getting him out, you guys take him out.
Yeah, take him back outside to his brother, who's waiting outside, because we'd only been in the dungeon for a couple hours at that point.
Yeah, about.
Realistically. And because our thought process was, well, let's not just leave him here in the dungeon. Mm-hmm. Where if we walk down the hallway, something's going to pop out of some secret passage and stab him.
Yeah.
Let's just bring him out to his brother, send them on their way, get them out of danger, and then go back in and go back to being murder hobos.
Yeah.
Which I still stand by as being, all right, that's cool. And thank God we took a rest before we went outside.
Yeah, you guys took a short rest before he went outside to heal up the guy.
Yep.
And, as soon as you guys...
I poke my head out and almost get stabbed with a flying dagger.
Well, yes, because... And when he was in the bar, and I don't think you guys remembered it, but at the very beginning you were doing insights, and he was kind of, like, checking around the room, and he was, like, looking off and saying, yeah, why don't we, like, go somewhere in private? Because he knew he was being followed.
Because I thought it was him just being suspicious about divulging more information in a public place.
Yeah.
Just like a normal rogue treasure hunter would. I mean, you see it in all the movies, even when they're not being followed.
Oh, yeah. And I was rolling behind the table for who would... And I was asking for perception checks.
Yeah.
On the way back, just to see if anyone noticed the person following.
Yeah. And nobody did.
Nope. So this came as more of a surprise.
Yeah.
And
I would have engaged her right in the middle of town, too.
I don't know if that would have been good for you guys, but...
It probably wouldn't have been, but I would have.
But it was the bandit captain, whose sister you guys killed out in the road. In a heist gone wrong.
Yeah, and them trying to steal our things. I just want to point that out. We weren't trying to steal theirs.
But then you killed the bandit captain's sister, and that doesn't matter to her.
Oh, yeah, no.
Who was right or wrong. She knows she's a highwayman.
Oh, yeah. I just don't want people to think that she was in the good here.
I mean, it was a very peaceful carjacking.
as peaceful as you can go, I suppose. And except then, they opened with stabbing, as opposed to give us your things. So actually, no, it wasn't. No words, just stab. Ah!
Bandits, man. So
first time banditing.
So the whole reason why she even probably found out about it so quickly and was able to find you guys is because your paladin used Thunderous Smite to behead her.
Yeah, there's that.
And then used Thunderous Smite again in the dungeon, which, I mean, in a dungeon, I like living dungeons. I like that if you take a nap, there's still a possibility of something interrupting you.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, there's stuff walking around.
Because
especially if you're being loud about it.
If you're loud about it, these goblins know you're there, you know. So I made rolls behind the screen, too, for if they were going to either make a preemptive attack or bunker down and make more traps. So they decided to bunker down and make more traps.
Yeah, no, I caught that one full of the chest.
Mm-hmm.
That was
a good one.
Oh, God, that still stings.
So, you open a door.
Yeah, so, anyways, we kill the bandit captain.
Yes, that
we
was...
We kill their archers.
That was a knockdown, drag-out fight.
Yeah.
Because you guys were supposed to, you guys were supposed to be a little bit more tired before, like, reaching her.
Yeah.
So I took the stats for the bandit captain. I had him planned to be a little bit weaker.
Yeah.
Less HP, a little bit weaker. But because you guys kind of just jumped to her after a short rest, I said, the only thing I'll take off this is the parry ability.
Yeah, no, the parry abilities can get nasty.
So, and a good thing I didn't use parry, because you guys had a hard time hitting her in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
Well, no, you didn't, but the tank, the paladin, she had the worst time.
I feel so bad.
So these two are going at each other. The bandit captain, she is hitting 1 in 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, every time, at least 1 in 3 times.
Wasn't it with 3 multi-attack?
Yes. 2 slashes with her scimitar, and then 1 with a dagger.
Yeah.
And she was using the dagger to fend you and Pike, the NPC, off, while still giving all the slashes to the paladin, and that was fun.
Oh, yeah. And I ended up running around trying to take out a couple of archers and then just zapping from a distance. But when you think about it, the bandit captain had just as hard a time hitting our paladin as the paladin had hitting the bandit captain.
She just had more dice.
She just had way more attacks to go through.
But when she did hit with every single weapon,
oh god,
it was devastating.
Yeah, no, that was gnarly.
She had one towards the end when the paladin already had to use a potion and her healing. And hit her with all 3 after she healed. And if she didn't heal right before that, it would have been ugly. She would have been down.
Oh, yeah.
No, and you guys would have had no healer.
Yeah, no, it was not great. I mean, I still had potions. I could have...
Yeah.
I could have revived.
And Pike, the NPC, he had a couple potions left,
yeah,
too.
So, like, there would have been options. But, oh, God, that was knocked down, drag out. The Gauntlet's level 5, though, which is probably the more important part, considering what we're actually talking about here?
Yes. So, I planned for that combat to be what pushed you guys over the edge in the first place.
Yeah.
And would level you guys up. The reason why I didn't hold it off and wait until the other stuff was done was because that was such a hard and difficult fight that I couldn't justify trying to make the other combats harder just for you guys to have more trouble.
Yeah. So, and it would feel kind of shoehorned into...
It would feel like a video game almost, where everything scales with you.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be like that. It was meant to be it was meant to be something that you guys were already tired.
Yeah.
So instead, I let you guys. I kind of as a gift on top of the level up. Like, here's your level up. You guys are fully healed. You guys, you know, get your 4 hours, 5 hours of sleep in, whatever you needed to continue on. You guys got your full healing, and then you went back and finished the job in the morning. So I increased the traps a bit. You guys kind of went past a lot of the traps to where the main room was.
Yep.
I added 2 traps to that dungeon room. And you guys being stronger now, having more abilities, and having all your tricks back, kind of just wiped the floor with everything in those last 2 combats.
All right. Oh, which I found out I wasn't even rolling for my increased Eldritch Blast.
I tried to tell you.
Yeah, no, just completely wasn't even doing it.
So those combats being easier is kind of like a... Every once in a while, I do like to give the players that you just feel awesome moment where you get to just spank the enemy.
Oh, yeah. I feel the correct term would be victory lap.
Yeah, definitely. That.
Which is essentially what that was in the dungeon.
It was.
It's just, I'm just here now to flaunt my power.
And you guys
I'm going to play with my toys.
And you guys got some really, really outlandishly good rolls. I was like, oh, man. Because I was expecting, at least on my end, to hit you guys way more often.
Yeah.
And my rolls just took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had combats where we've hit something maybe 2 times within 5 rounds of combat between 3 people. And then we've had rounds where we've just absolutely destroyed
it doesn't make enemies. It through the round, yeah.
Yeah, no. The face spider, probably my favorite one.
Oh, yeah, that was like a one and done.
Yeah, that which was, oh, God, that was so good.
So it was a little frustrating on the DM side just not to hit.
Yeah.
And I tended to not fudge numbers. Otherwise, you guys would have been hit a little bit more frequently.
Yeah.
That being said, it was fine. It was actually good to see you guys beating up the enemy. You guys are building your first follower, essentially, with this NPC Pike.
Yep.
So it was good to, like, see you guys using him and how well he was actually playing, too, with your roles. And it all went really well. And you guys cleared the dungeon. Beat up the goblin little boss and everything.
We saved the village.
Yeah. And you guys go through the room and you find the treasure. And then you guys proceed to... I use the treasure chart for this one for the first time. I think I'm done with that forever.
Yeah, no, you guys, that was...
You guys maxed out on the chart.
I think that is a... that us maxing out everything was kind of a one-time thing. I don't think that's going to happen that well ever again.
I hope not. You guys,
good God.
Max gold was 1,200 gold. and then I asked you guys to roll a d4 and you get a 4 to see how many magic items. D4 minus 1. Just like, alright, okay. And then you guys proceed to roll d100s to see, you know, on the chart what you guys get. Because I wanted to do it like, let's see what they get.
Yeah.
And you guys each got a potion that you find that, like, you guys don't fully know it yet. You discovered what two of them were, right?
Yeah, everybody's but mine.
Yeah, so you guys figure out that they're like, made for your characters almost. On a random chart, the kid, his is Animal Friendship.
Yep, because we're honestly making a feel-good movie.
Yeah.
So we just want him and the horses to get along.
Right, because our paladin talks to the horses with her abilities.
I have successfully deceived horses into thinking that I talk to horses.
The amount of paranoia you've given your horses. And
I dole out carrots. I am not shy with carrots.
And the paladin, hers is growth, which is perfect because, you know, makes her a size category larger.
Yep.
So she's large now when she takes it for an hour.
Big and shrunk.
Yep. So that's great for combat. And then yours, you don't know.
I don't.
It's just as fitting. It's on the same line of fitting.
I can imagine.
You guys also find a tome written all Draconic. Which this whole dungeon's had draconic ruins everywhere.
I'm going to go grab like a cipher or something and then come back to this place.
But yeah, so you guys are gonna have to find someone who can read draconic and help you guys with what those are.
Also somebody that either I can kill or somebody who I can catch if they run away with my book.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because I'm not in the business of just handing over my things. Like, hey, read this. It's like, oh, hey, that's cool, and gone. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
You guys also found a wand?
Yes, it was a wand of magic missile.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the second wand of magic missile that I've gotten.
Yes.
The first one I traded for my boots.
Yes. You know, it's a very common item.
Yeah.
Especially in my world, it's a very common because it's a reliable boomstick.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about either giving that to the paladin or to Pike, just because, I mean, the paladin has nothing ranged.
She has nothing ranged?
Like, zero.
But she doesn't need it. She shouldn't be ranged.
Oh, yeah, no, she doesn't need it. But, I mean, sometimes hitting something from across the way, like,
yeah,
I would justify the use of, like, hitting a lever on the bottom side with force damage to knock it up.
Yeah.
Or something like that. If you roll too high on the damage, you accidentally break the lever.
So when you look at Pike, as of right now, he is less than a...
He's less than a
level 1 wizard. I mean...
Yeah.
He's...
Got more HP. Far more HP.
Yes. Yes, he does.
I'm talking in sheer HP at that point.
Yeah, in HP, yes. That was because of deals with Baba Yaga.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has more HP. He has... But all of his stats are really low.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking at the books, and I saw that they had an apprentice wizard stat block.
Oh.
That was actually better than his stats, which made me think about him a little bit more.
All right.
And because I've been picking up the pace in the campaign, and just making, kind of just taking the pace of the campaign and stepping up a notch.
Yeah.
That I've come up with an idea for how I'm going to make him a little bit more usable for you guys. Because you're level 5 now, I wanted you guys to start getting followers early on. That's what the reason for him was.
Yeah.
But he's been very much almost a detriment.
Yeah. Something to look out for.
Yeah. So, I think what I'm going to do is, I have some plot ideas for what's going to happen within the next, like, 3 or so sessions. You know.
Okay.
Maybe sooner, maybe longer. It really depends on how you guys
just
go through things.
Just what works out.
Yeah, it could be in the next 2 sessions. But I got an idea for how to make him better, and I did intend that magic, that wand.
Yeah.
Because, like, I knew you guys would think, you know what, yeah, let's get him away from combat.
Alright, that's why I gave him a bow.
Hmm. That you guys actually didn't use. When did you guys get that to him?
Oh, and immediately. It was just on the outside of the dungeon.
Oh, that's why. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, he just got it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And, like, I'm not even going to try to justify that he knows how to use a bow.
Oh, yeah, most of all the weapons...
Although, he's a farmer's kid, isn't he?
No.
No?
No.
He's just a regular commoner's kid.
Yeah, his father was worked like a shop or something. I could look at my notes and see what he was, but...
Yeah.
The kid had no skills. And,
he was just a brat kid.
Essentially. And the way that the game works with that, I'm pretty sure that he would have disadvantage on any weapon attack he's been using.
Oh, yeah.
But I've just let it fly for the hammer he got.
I mean, the hammer he got, at this point, he's practicing enough for the hammer to at least not have disadvantage.
Yeah, that's how I see that.
Like, a dagger, you hold it like this and you stab something. That's like, okay. But yeah, no, he's going to have to learn how to use that short bow.
Something. I mean, you guys plan on making him a wizard, right?
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
A wizard or... And something else with magic that I could justify? I mean,
you guys could have had him be a warlock.
Darren would love a minstrel. Maybe turn him into a bard.
Yeah. You guys could have had a warlock.
We could have.
You could have had a really good warlock.
Yeah.
There would have been a price to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, again, with Pike, he is a NPC that I gave you guys to be whatever you guys wanted to be as your first follower. I didn't want to give you guys something that was going to be too helpful right off the rip. But now that I'm kind of just ramping up the danger factor and getting you guys more immersed in the world, now I'm looking at it going, maybe I want to be a little bit stronger. I want to give you guys a little bit more help, especially going into the next situation.
Yeah.
You guys have chosen to go back to Fallholt.
Yeah.
Which is a place we previously talked about that has a little bit of a problem. Your ex is there. the baby daddy.
Yeah. Baby daddy slot, man.
So there is a slot, which if you don't know what that is a aberrant toad demon?
Aberrant chaos demon in the form of a monster toad.
Yeah, and
I feel like it would be a better description for that.
However you want to put it, is a big red toad monster who is not quite too happy.
There's probably more toad monsters now. Let's be honest.
There's a possibility of it. Because they're a little bit like Alien. Where they scratch you. If you fail a constitution saving throw,
yep.
An egg is implanted in you. The egg travels to your chest, starts to grow. After it's done gestating, it will chest burster out of you. And if you are I forget the lore, but I believe if it goes that way, it becomes a blue slot that comes out of you. But if you had magic, it was a green slot.
Yes.
I want to say that's how it works, and it's not another red slot.
I'm pretty sure.
Because it depends on what lore you're going with, because D&D has, like, two different sets of lore for them and how they're created.
Yeah, it's... D&D has, like, five different sets of lore for everything.
So, that being said, it depends on which one you're going with. I guess that I'm going with the one that has to do with that big crystal and the, like, the plane of existence they come from.
Yeah.
Because there's a stone that is, like, in their brain or something.
Yeah.
That can be extracted and used to control them, which is the case for this red slot with a noble who doesn't quite like you.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to have a fun time.
So
I might just shoot to kill at this point.
I think that is the best way to deal with the situation.
Yeah.
at
least for Jan, yes. I believe his name is.
Yeah.
That guy's going down. I got nothing else.
And the way I run my world is things are happening on the other side of the continent.
Yeah.
There, in other countries, there are things that are progressing because I've written stories in each of these places. And, I mean, I've had a campaign running on the exact opposite side of this continent that was running at the same time as this campaign's timeline is.
Yeah.
So, there, like, I do know things that are happening. And depending on when you guys get there, I want it to be progressed to a certain point. So if you guys were to go somewhere right now where there's a upheaval, you know, if you left and went there first, you would have been maybe in the beginnings of it. If you leave now, you might be in the middle of it. And if you go in months from now, you might be seeing the aftermath. So with that being said, with everything that's happened with you leaving right when a big problem started with the slot.
Yeah.
And there's been about 5 months of time in between by the time you get back.
Yeah.
That's 5 months of time where someone's been in control of a really bad monster. So I'm interested to see, I have written down a lot that's changed. But I'm really interested to see how you guys react to it, especially you who's been there now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited and I'm trying not to talk too much about it. Like, I don't want to spoil anything for you because you're playing in it.
Yeah.
But man, I want to talk about it because there's so much that's happened.
Yeah.
There are things.
I also want to see what Darkon, the original holder of the crystal for this slot, if he's finally gotten off his ass to do anything about it.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see who's alive, who's dead, who's around, what's happened.
Oh yeah. No, it's gonna be good. Yes. It's gonna be good. All around.
But yeah, we kinda got off onto a long running tangent, but you know, how to deal with things going right or wrong.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, to give some advice is to adjust and roll with it.
Yeah.
And if...
It all depends on how laid out your plans already are.
Yeah, and I try not to plan too much. And I never plan things to work in this exact path.
Yeah.
Because I know that...
At that point, you're playing a movie.
Yeah. I don't want people to ever feel like they're on a railroad. Though, if I do have a railroad set, I try to give you guys enough options that you think that you have, like, you have that illusion of choice.
Yeah. You can do what you want within here.
Yeah. As long as you guys don't feel a hard, invisible wall.
Yeah.
Then great. There are ways to railroad characters and players in a way that makes sense for their characters to go that direction without having to force them somewhere for no reason. If it's a matter of it's downtime, they decide to go, you know, to a random city that you don't have anything planned for, then you left that open. But if you put in front of them, hey, there's a thing there that you definitely want to go there for, then they're going to go that way because it makes sense to them.
Yeah. And they're going to be like, what's this?
Now, that could be a reward that's there, or that could be like a problem that they need to go and solve, or...
Or a problem masquerading as a reward.
Yeah, there could be... There's so many things. As long as you give the characters a reason that they can go there.
Yeah.
That's imminent. If you have things that you want done there, give them a reason to go there.
Exactly.
Don't, like, force them to go there. Like, okay, next you guys are going here.
Yeah, no, it's... At that point, it's like, why? Like, you gave us no indication of this.
Yeah.
Why? My advice is... I know a lot of people who like to play in a very random way. Mm-hmm. In a very, I will give you this world. There are problems here, but you need to go find the problems. And if you like playing that, that's awesome. But if they end up going to somewhere that you don't have fully fleshed out yet or something like that, there's a great set of tools online, Donjon.
I love Donjon.
Which, if you play like that, you should know Donjon. They have the generators that you could use to bring up anything.
I built my dungeon using that random dungeon creator.
No, it's everything on there is awesome.
Yep.
And if they want to go somewhere random to go do something random, you can...
Pull it up like that.
Dungeon generator, town generator for the dungeon to be in,
mm-hmm.
people generation for whoever's popular in the town, and loot and encounter generation for this. All on Donjon. It's awesome.
Yeah, that. It's learn in the Dungeon it, Master's love Guide it. As well. That's where I use my treasure generator.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love those tools for that in general.
Yeah, so like if they pull out something random on you, you can always find a generator. Mm-hmm. My advice would be to find it before the game and just have it like on, have it chambered next to you when you're playing. So that way you can just be like, all right, give me like 2 seconds, click, click, and you're good. It can be easy to adapt. Unless your players are actively trying to make it difficult for you.
Well, that's true.
I feel.
Yeah, you need players who are going to work with you on it.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, at the end of the day, a collaborative storytelling.
Oh, 100%.
And if people are being antagonistic, you don't want the players... You don't want the players or the DM or any combination of between each other to be antagonistic.
Yeah, no, nobody's working against the other person in a literal sense. They're all working together because you want to do something cool.
Exactly. No one should be trying to trip like their fellow player or DM.
Exactly.
Especially if you want a good story.
Right. It's like because your player, your DM, is giving you the meat of the world. It's like all of these things for the players to consume, all these things for the players to fill up on, and then the players are what give a flavor. The unique distinction of this meat between the other meat over there. And you need them combined to make a beautiful, wonderful meal.
So, in advice for it, you have to be very pliable. The players are almost they're never going to go the way you want them to go. And ways to deal with it are to just keep rolling. If they kill a character that, say they kill your big bad villain before he has a chance to even... Do anything that you planned on him doing?
Can't get rolling yet.
Change his name. That wasn't him.
Yeah.
The
right-hand general stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, that was someone who was just taking on that point of authority, but wasn't the villain. Or maybe your villain has people kind of take his place and hides his identity. There are ways of rolling past it, or just that guy, he didn't get to do anything special. He didn't get to use all those special abilities and everything. You have another guy with that really cool sword and you can move right past
there
it.
There was a twin to the sword.
Yeah, something, or even that just wasn't the sword.
Yeah, there's that too.
You know, and that's fine. Like it's fine. It's gonna happen. You know, no plan ever survives contact with the players.
Oh God, ever.
So
and even if they follow your track of events that you have, they're not gonna do it in the way that you think they are.
Not always, no. Because that's the thing, though. When you're one person solving a problem, you're going to find your way to solve the problem.
Yeah.
When you introduce five people solving a problem, you have five different perspectives solving this problem. They're going to come up with things that you didn't think about.
Yeah. You're going to have cherry-picked options from everybody's way of doing things.
Exactly. So, with that in mind, I mean, as smart as we want to be, we want to try to be with it, like, there's just... one mind against many.
Your cleverness cannot outwit a player's stupidity. It just can't happen.
That goes on a shirt right there. That is perfect.
No matter how clever you are, your players are more stupid.
Yeah, you know, that is a thing a lot of times. And it's tough too, because we, as a GM or a DM, you make all the information in the world. You write the truths and the wrongs, and even then.
Yeah.
Even then. Which is fine, because at the end of the day, it's about being a Dungeon Master. You want to provide the best experience to the players.
Yep.
And it's the player's job to enjoy that experience to the fullest, while still making it enjoyable for everyone around them.
Yeah.
And the DM.
It's just like improv comedy.
Yeah.
Everything should be a yes and there should rarely ever be detractions from what's already there. It should just be building on and compounding on top of each other.
I feel like the best games I've listened to and been are been games where that's followed.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Some people make it pretty difficult, but...
Yeah.
You kill them with kindness.
Exactly.
Or with fireballs. I don't know. Whatever your modus operandi is.
I usually play a wizard, so either way will work. And with that, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Knights of the Tabletop from Cursed Dice Studios. We do have our social media. We're posting as regularly as we can on Facebook, / Cursed Dice Studios. On Twitter, at C-Dice Studios. We also have the website, cursedicestudios.weebly.com. That's weebly.com. And we're on Patreon as well.
Yes. Yes, we are. Fleshing that out as time goes by, figuring stuff out. If you want to donate, feel free.
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing, and you would make me all blushed and flustered.
In the meantime, something that you could do that's even better, I would say, at the moment, is share the show.
Yeah, honestly, just if you like how we go about talking about things, the things that we talk about, our ideas, or if you just want other people to make fun of us too, just share the name.
Yeah.
Throw the name out there.
Like us, subscribe to us, send us in a review, check out the website. You can send us in any ideas for shows that you'd like to hear from us.
Something that I would really like is if you play a weird tabletop that maybe not a lot of people play, if you play some kind of weird, cool board game that you know of that not a lot of people play or that not a lot of people know about, send me a link to it. Send me a small review of it. Send me the name of it.
Yes, go over to Weebly.com or CursedDiceStudios.Weebly.com and go to contact us and send that in, because we will get that game, we will try it out, we will recommend it to others, and we want to share games like that.
Yeah. Gaming is one of those hobbies where there are so many diamonds in the rough.
Yes.
There are so many things that are just hidden that got overshadowed by something.
Also, back on the Patreon, yes. We are introducing to our $1 patrons, we're going to be doing a weekly writing prompt.
Yes.
We're adding that in that tier. It's going to be something where Matt is going to pick a picture from Pinterest.
I'm going to do my best to get the original art credits for it, because on the internet that can be kind of difficult to do.
Also, supporting the artist.
Yeah, also, all the stuff that I find is going to be some kind of art that I really liked, either from ArtStation, from Pinterest, or even just straight up from Google, whatever I find that suits my fancy. And I'm going to be writing a little bit about what I saw when I looked at it, the story that came into my head, and then asking you guys. Going to find just some little bit of inspiration for a person, a place, or a thing. And I'm going to be throwing that up for our $1 patrons.
Yes.
Should be fun.
And with that, guys, that is episode 6 of Knights of the Tabletop. Thank you for listening. See you next week.